Welcome to The Millennial Wave. This is Rachel Kayleen, entrepreneur and millennial leader. If you aren't familiar with The Millennial Wave, our mission is to be a voice for the millennial generation. So we're constantly collaborating with new guests to help give our audience the guidance and raw knowledge needed to spark ideas and accomplish their goals. Again, if you've been here before, welcome back. If you're new here, thank you for coming on. And if you do get value, all we ask is that you give us a rating and a review to be able to share with us how much you enjoy listening to this podcast. All right, guys, so let's hop into it. Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome back to the Millennial Wave. I'm Rachel Kayleen, and this is episode 47 of the podcast. And I'm so excited because one of my favorite things about this podcast is that not only do I get to meet people for the first time on the day of the podcast, but I also get to meet people while I'm out and about and then decide these people need to be on the freaking podcast. So I'm so excited because I have Josh Frazier in here with me, and me and him met at a mixer from one of our old guests, Trevor Fong. Thank you, Trevor, for basically connecting us without even knowing. So I'm very thankful for that. Josh is, not only is he a student, he's a college student, but he's a personal stylist. Currently in Sacramento, going worldwide soon enough. Just watch out. And we were talking about it earlier, how you've had your business for like a year and a half, right? Mm-hmm. So what made you want to go with personal styling?
First off, I just want to say thank you. This is my first podcast. Yes. This is a really cool space. I'm very excited for this podcast.
Oh my God, of course.
I'm so excited. Forgot the question.
Oh, I love it. That's okay. Well, what made you want to get into personal styling?
I've always had the urge to like want to dress other people, not just myself, but make other people look good, such as when I get a haircut, I feel good. I feel a lot better. So in high school, I would dress my classmates or my friends. We'd go to the mall like any other kid, and I'd pick out stuff for them and they like it and they'd pay me for it. I'm like, wait.
They paid you?
Like just $5, $10 or whatever.
Okay, that's
like
something still small.
So I was like, I did that almost like once a weekend, a month pretty much. And then I did that for a while, just go to the mall with my friends. And then I actually started my business when I was at Taco Bell.
Were you by yourself?
What?
Were you by yourself?
What do you mean?
When you started your business, were you by yourself?
I'm still by myself.
Were you by yourself when you're like, I'm going to start my business? And you were by yourself, right?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Do you remember what you were eating? Just curious. No, I'm just kidding.
What I was eating, probably like chips or like something like that. Okay. I don't know. There's this guy named Alpha Male. Alpha M. Shout out to Uriah Faber. There's a guy named Alpha M. He's a personal stylist in like Virginia. Mm. And he styled people and he does it out there. And it seems fun. And it makes people happy. And that's kind of the point why I style people, not just for the clout on Instagram or whatever, but to make people happy, especially like I guess regular people, like before and afters. Right now I'm mainly styling models, which is cool, but they know how to dress. So when I pick out an outfit for somebody who doesn't know how to dress and they are confident, it makes me feel a lot better about myself.
Yeah. So okay. I want to know, first question, this is probably really simple to answer, but they have to buy their own clothes, right?
Yeah.
And then they pay you on top of it?
Yeah, pretty much. So what I usually do is say if I picked out an outfit for you, which I probably will.
Yeah, you will.
I'd pick out clothes in the store in like an hour or so prior to you coming in.
Do it while I'm not even there.
Yeah, that just saves so much time. I've done that other process where they come in with me. That's just like, it just slows it down. It's so awkward.
Yeah.
So I'm in there an hour prior to you being in there. So when you're in there, you're just trying on clothes depends how many outfits you want. Say if you guys want an outfit for an event you're going to, just one outfit, I'd pick out like five or six. And then whatever you like, you buy, and then you pay me the styling fee after that.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Got it. Okay. So personal styling, yes. And then we also were talking about this before the podcast where there's so many people that most individuals would never think have a stylist that do, like, for example, The Rock. The Rock has a stylist.
Yeah, it's crazy because pretty much every celebrity you see has a stylist. It's just a matter of them having time to shop or not. Like I said earlier, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, he's doing all these movies, all these things. If you follow him on Instagram, which I'm sure you do, he's always doing something, new movies, new documentaries, whatever. He doesn't have the 2 to 3 hours to shop every day. He has his own family and whatnot. So that's where I would come in, and that's where his stylist comes in. So she picks out all the stuff, they meet in a studio, he tries everything on, and he's good for like however long, how many outfits he ever needs for like next week or month or so.
Yeah, 100%. So did you feel like the style aspect, like just knowing how to make people look, was like a natural born gift?
Yeah.
Or
I would say so, honestly. I not so rudely judge people's looks all the time. I'm like, I could definitely dress them
help
up.
You.
And like, yeah, I can definitely help you. Yeah. Yeah. Even at work, I work at a retail store as well. And I just tell people all the time, like, we can do better than that. And like, I help them out in the fitting room and all that stuff. And it's cool. And,
oh, you're awesome.
And I just, when I see people, I'm just like, I can see them in this. I can see them in that, where I can do a lot better. Even when I do post my own stuff on my Instagram and I see all my models, I'm like, I could have picked out something better.
I like it. Okay, have you ever had anyone be like, oh my God, Josh, I fucking hate this. Like, ew.
It's not.
It's not. Have you ever had anyone get mad at you?
I've had probably 100 styling sessions in the past year, hopefully doubling 100? It next. Probably, maybe a little bit less, maybe 90 okay. or 100.
That's a lot, though. Like, every 3-4 yeah. days.
It's well, see, in my Instagram, it's just really just the models. I style business people, too. And that's what I'm trying to get more into, because that's, I guess, where the money is. Like, real estate agents, people who mm-hmm. need to look good.
Yeah.
Can you ask that one?
Yeah, no. Have you ever had anyone be like, this is fucking horrible? Because I watched, like, on Oxygen, they used to have, like, I forgot, like, making people look better, because mm-hmm. they used to be, like, totally, meh, and now they're like, eh.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, anyway, I've seen a lot of people be like, oh, my God, fuck this. Like, this is fucking horrible. I would never wear this. You know, shit like that. Well, stuff like that.
With me, a lot of people I work with are already, like, good looking or whatever. So, everything fits them good. They look good. It's just that it's not for the certain event they need. Out of all the styling sessions I've done, there's only been 3 or 4 that failed, where I couldn't find anything.
Really?
And I'm surprised there hasn't been more, but thankfully there hasn't. But most of the time when I pick out stuff, they like it, which yeah. is a good thing, yeah.
Yeah, so you just really know that you have a knack for it.
Yeah, and like when I'm shopping, like an hour prior to, say, you coming in, I'm on my phone going through your Instagram, seeing what colors fit you best, what doesn't, and seeing like, see, okay, this top look good on her? Just stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's really cool.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay, so you say that you already style people that look good. Would you ever style people that, quote-unquote, don't know how to dress, don't know what they're doing?
I already do that. Even, like, when I was at Taco Bell, I was styling my coworkers, who I guess didn't know how to dress. And that's why I thought I was going to stay in that lane, just doing before and after pictures of regular people. And then I found out about this group called Good Ink. Shout out to Will. He runs this thing where local models and photographers meet every time. Like every once in a while, and there's a lot of models in that scene, so I styled those models, and next coming months I'm going to collab with them. I guess I should say that yet.
It's okay.
But he does these things called Good Tuesdays.
I've heard about that.
So for 15 weeks there's free photo shoots in different parts of Sacramento, and what I'm going to do is bring out a clothing rack full of clothes for all the models to try on, because all these people, like, they want to dress up nice, they just don't know how to or who to reach out to, and that's where I come in.
Yeah. Do you feel like there's a lot of competition in personal styling in Sacramento?
I would say no for what I'm doing, because there are a lot, surprisingly. I didn't find that out until the next couple months. But I say that because all these stylists just focus on, like, one thing. I know one who's just focusing, like, on men's suits, one is just for fashion. Me, I can style anybody and everybody. I'm doing models, real estate agents, I've styled kids at fashion shows, I've done 3 fashion shows this year, and I will produce my own in the summer. So be on the lookout for that. I'm definitely inviting you guys.
Yes.
So that should be really exciting.
Yeah, definitely. So you think that'll help you get your name out there, is producing your own?
The fashion show?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the thing. I've been a part of 3 this year, and I haven't gotten paid for any of those. And I'm saying that because I'm going to do a little charge for everybody, so I can pay all the models, because it's very time consuming. Each, like, this second one I did, probably 2 days worth of work, and I didn't get paid anything, which is okay, because I met so many nice people and people I'm working with right now. But I feel like it'd be a game changer, because, like I said, even in SF, these models don't get paid, or nobody does.
Really?
Yeah.
So you'd be the difference maker.
I'd say so. Hope so.
Yeah. And it should be no problem for people to want to pay a small fee for a big,
especially the people, night. Especially the special guests I want to bring in, and the type of show I want to do, and the way I network it as well. I think a big part of, like, promoting anything is, like, promoting it well, especially on IG. So the people I want to model for me, I'm probably going to have them market it on their stories, because that's where the most exposure is on Instagram nowadays.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but like so much more looks on the stories than your posts. Like,
yeah, you know? I know exactly. You gotta just do it all in the story.
Yeah, pretty much.
Literally. Yeah. Okay, so regarding like styling people and getting your name out there, you have your own business, right? Mm-hmm. So you generate business, you have clients, personal clients, things like that. After you finish college, are you going to try to, do you have like a dream of like a big company that you've always wanted to be a part of that you would love to be a stylist of? Or are you more like, you like the independent thing?
I like the independent thing for sure. There's certain companies like Stitch Fix and whatnot where you're the stylist for them, but you're only getting a certain percentage of that. Me, I want it to go towards me, so it's a little bit more personal, I guess. The problem with Stitch Fix and all these, they give you these boxes of clothes that they think will fit you well, but they're not even there in person with you. When you're in the store with me, after pick out everything, I'm saying like, no, let's take that out, put that in, change the color right there. For them, if you don't like it, you have to return it, wait a couple of days and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But back to your question, like, yeah, I just want to do this on my own for sure. I probably might change my name.
Your real name?
No. Oh, okay. The business. It's called JF Personal Styling.
Okay.
And personal styling is more of like a local thing, like very personal, I guess. Where celebrity, it's more like a celebrity stylist. So I'm probably going to change it to like Josh the Stylist. I'll probably like remember this. Probably Josh the Stylist, I guess.
Yeah. No, I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you won't forget that one. Okay. So you want to do all that. Now, you're one person. Mm-hmm. So how are you, once you do grow and you gain a lot of clients, how do you go about not spreading yourself thin? Because it's always exciting at the beginning.
Yeah.
Like when you're generating a bunch of business and the money's flowing in and things are going great and people love it and you're getting all over IG, then everybody's hitting you up.
Yeah, it's
and then
true.
Even like some of the top people that see what you've done for their friends, they want you and you almost feel like you can't say no.
Yeah.
So how do you grow with people that aren't you?
I think I'd have to get an assistant. I would love to meet each and every one of my clients, but I feel like an assistant is something I'd have to do. And I'd probably find that assistant just through someone who wants to do styling or someone who wants to get into fashion, you know? Yeah.
Got it. No, I get it. So, okay. So regarding styling, you said you're in college right now and you want to go and get your bachelor's for it,
mm-hmm.
correct?
Yeah.
Do you need that in order to have your business?
I mean, look at me now. It's like it's already successful as it is without my degree. Well, my degree is fashion merchandising. So that really just gets me a piece of paper or what I wanted to do at first, which was a buyer. So like a fashion retail buyer can work for Gap Inc. and just be a buyer for their store while styling on the side.
So you'd get big bulk for cheaper?
Pretty much, I guess. Yeah, and if I did do that, I guess the styling would kind of be on the side, but either way, I just really want to focus on styling for sure. Like I said, I'm going to start out doing local celebrities. Like I told you, I can't tell
anybody. No names, really names.
But in the next year or two, I'm hopefully styling some local celebrities and then go up to the higher celebrities.
Yeah, definitely. So you have a whole plan out.
Yes. Probably like a 1-year plan. I should have a 5-year plan like everyone else nowadays, but it's just like really a 1-year plan.
No, it's totally fine. You take it step by step. You see how it goes. You readjust. You know, you pump it up, bring it down, whatever you need to do, right? So, okay. So with everything that you're doing, I love that you're kind of, you're not bootstrapping it, like you're planning for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Definitely, yeah.
But how, do you deal with a lot of rejection?
I would say not as much as you think.
Okay.
A lot of my work, especially in the past year, I've been reaching out to people and some people are like, oh, I already have a stylist or I'm not really interested in, which is fine because if I wasn't doing that, how else would I get my clients? You know, it's mainly from IG and me reaching out to people. But I'm ready for rejection. I've been rejected like not in styling and other situations or whatever. So I've been through a lot. So if I get rejected on a styling session, it's not the end of the world for me. I'm still going, you know?
Yeah. And what do you think are those like key factors that people need when jumping into a business, not only like this, but in the same type of realm where rejection is going to come, but you just have to keep persevering. Like, how do you grow that type of mindset? Like, how did you kind of adapt that philosophy?
That's a loaded question.
Sorry.
So you're just asking how would I,
like, how did you build that mindset up? Like, how did you decide, like, I'm going to go and I'm going to put my name out there. I'm going to scale this. I'm going to grow a business.
I just want to make a name for myself, really. a lot of my family, they're doing the traditional stuff like education and all that. I just want to stand out and do something for my city. I remember in high school, I would say like, I don't want to stay in Sacramento. I like Sacramento, but now I love it. I just want to expand my name, I guess. I don't know if that really answers the question.
No, it does. Yeah. And you want to, it's more so like, the wanting of being that person. Like, yeah. That's the go-to. Like, that's who you go to when you need to look good.
Yeah, exactly. And I feel like once I do this fashion show and a couple of other things, I feel like I'm really going to pop off. At least that's what I'm hoping in my mind.
Yeah.
But like I said, I'm really doing this for myself and for Sacramento and just to show myself I can achieve it. Because back when I was at I keep saying Taco Bell, Taco Bell all
the time.
That's
okay. No, it's...
But this is how it all started when I was at Taco Bell. When I was doing that, I was a very depressed person. I was in school. I was in a very toxic household. And I always knew I would be successful. I just knew it would take a lot of work. I just had a lot more obstacles than the typical college student. But if I'm comparing myself to where I was last year, I made a big hop.
Yeah, that makes me happy. So, okay. So I know that we're talking a lot about styling and everything, but if you do think about it, the reason why a lot of people do create success isn't only because of the platform, because I feel like every platform... There's always somebody successful in every platform.
Mm-hmm.
There's somebody successful in podcasts. There's somebody successful in styling. There's someone successful in videography. Mm-hmm. There's every platform you can make it, but it's always about the person. The person is the one that makes it. The platform doesn't make them.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So how have you used the obstacles that you've been through? You don't have to talk about them,
mm-hmm.
but how have you used your obstacles to channel any type of anger or sadness or depression that you've had and apply it towards something good that'll help you in the future, like styling, because that's your platform, that's your vehicle to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
So how have you been able to, any type of home life issues or any type of issues in your life, have you kind of moved those to the side or at least use them for good currently?
I think it can be the same answer as earlier, is that I just know I was in a certain spot and I just need to keep doing better. I guess I can think one of the examples of a toxic household. I was a lot of my income was going towards rent, a little bit more than I should. And at that point I was like, what am I doing with my life? I remember like crying in my car. I'm like, what the, like, I was like legit in tears. And I rarely cry. And it was that point where it was just like, I need to get my shit together, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I can't, like I said earlier, I knew I wasn't going to stay at Taco Bell forever. I just had to put the work in. But I think I heard from Gary Vee or some other big guy. It was like, just you having to embrace the shit. You know what I mean? It's like all these, I feel like all the successful people nowadays, the real successful people, have been through some shit. Same as Dwayne The Rock Johnson. He got cut from a college football team and he had like $7 in his pocket. And eventually he made it big and made his production called Seven Bucks Production or something like that.
Oh, that's so dope.
Yeah, so
I didn't know that.
So I guess that kind of helps out too, knowing these other people's stories or just people who are going through the same stuff as me and they're there, you know? So I kind of look at Dwayne The Rock Johnson as like a role model, I guess.
Yeah, and it's always those like defining moments, like you got cut, had $7. Like those are the things that you'll never forget.
Exactly.
And those are the things that are going to shape you.
Mm-hmm.
And you said that you made a big leap in the last year. What do you think that you did differently in your life that helped you make that big leap? Did you start reading more? Did you start listening to more personal development? Did you find a mentor? Did you make more connections? Did you decide what you want to do? Like what was that big thing that helped you make that leap?
Well, it's funny you mentioned that big leap was actually January 1st of 2019. So I moved out of my dad's January 1st, and I moved into a new place where I can feel comfortable again and where I can feel where like I can actually achieve my goals much faster.
Think it was more so a change of environment?
Yeah, it was a change of environment too. So it was a really mental thing, and I feel like a lot of people are just now talking about it in the last year or two, like mental health. Like I was really messed up in the head last year before I moved out. I was very depressed. I wasn't talking a lot. And thanks to our common friend, Trevor Fong, I went to he had monthly networking events and I met all these nice people like you, and I've built all these clients. It's kind of gotten me out of my shell again. Because like I said, back to a toxic household, I was just in my room all the time and just being depressed all the time, being on Instagram, like comparing myself to others. Like, it's really sad how Instagram, there's really more cons than pros to it, especially if you don't have a business or whatever. It's kind of like measuring yourself to others. Now it's like, I don't even look at other people's stuff. I'm just going on there to post it because I don't want to be involved in everything like that.
Yeah, I feel like it can be, you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if you're not doing anything, it'll make you feel bad about not doing anything.
Yeah,
but exactly. Then it'll make you do something, mm. you know? Sometimes people won't do shit.
Yeah.
But then there's sometimes people will be like, damn, like, what are these people doing? But of course, it's never what it seems to be.
Yeah.
We usually only put the highlights out rather than the struggles. But I'm thankful for the people that do put out the struggles. Like, for example, The Rock.
Yeah.
He puts out the struggles. You know, he talks about it. And I mean, obviously, I didn't know the whole $7 thing. But my mm-hmm. mom called me and she was like, oh my God, I've been listening to like YouTube videos and I saw The Rock story. Oh my God, I can't believe he went through all that. Like it was crazy. And it's like, it's so attainable now at this point that there's no reason why people shouldn't be successful, because there's so much success out there. There's so much opportunity. There's so many chances for you to go out, meet new people, make connections, make a name for yourself.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time.
Exactly. And that brings me to one of the guys I said earlier, Gary Vee. He was working in a wine shop at 37 years old, making like zilch.
Yeah.
And now he's like, he owns, not owns, but he's a partner with Snapchat and all these big businesses. It's really just a matter of patience. And that's, answers one of the other questions too, patience. I always knew I'd be at this point in my life, and I know I'll be even more successful. It's just a matter of embracing the shit and being patient and just putting the work in.
Yeah. And I love that, because you talk about like, oh, you know, I compare my, like if you ever are on Instagram, like comparing yourself, or like if you're ever dealing with something, you're like, damn, like I should be further ahead. Mm-hmm. You guys, dude, Josh, you're only 22 years old. Like, I feel like when we were like 16, 18, we're like, damn, like 22 is old.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And now we're 22 and we're like, dude, we're so young.
Yeah,
we
seriously.
I don't want to say we have time, because we never have time,
yeah.
right? It's very valuable, but we have so much ahead of us. And you got to think about it. People that are older than us, like our parents or uncles or aunts or whatever, back in their day, they weren't doing this at 22. They were either in school, they were in the military.
So much harder.
They were partying. Like, it's definitely a lot harder, especially, you know, it was harder. But now that we have social media and so much more, can either be a great thing or it can be a detrimental thing.
Yeah, definitely.
So I think that's one of the big things too. But no, literally, and I feel the same way how you say, oh, I can't, like, I know I'm gonna be successful. I feel like, you know, you're gonna be successful no matter what you go through. Like, I know I'm gonna be successful no matter what I go through, no matter what, no matter what happens, right? Like, but then there's some people that don't believe that. So how can somebody, no matter how much shit you go through, no matter how many jobs you have to have, no matter how many people you have to get rejected by, how do you continue to keep that confidence in your head? Even if on the outside it doesn't transcend, but in the inside you're like, I know I'm going to be successful. I know I'm going to be successful. How do you keep that confidence?
Another loaded question. I feel like the big thing would be to take out the external forces. Don't compare yourself to others. When I compared myself, I would always be low and compare myself, you know, thinking I wouldn't be good enough. But once you stay in your own lane and just focus on yourself, I feel like everything will just come towards you. And that's what I've noticed in the past year. Everything is just Trevor's events, all these like newer clients, all these potential people I'm going to style. It's like, just because all those, the word potential, it's like makes me want to work for it. You know what I mean? If there wasn't that word potential, I wouldn't know where to go.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. And I want to know, when you first started your business, because you've had it for a year and a half, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you first started, what was one of the first things that you did? Like, for somebody that's in college, has dreams, wants to do something before they graduate, they don't just want to wait, oh, I'll wait till I graduate, then do something. No, you do it right away.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first step that you took?
The first step I took was to make an Instagram, to be honest. Because, I could style people and all that, but how am I going to showcase that to Sacramento, like get lucky and see a news reporter and say, hey, show me styling somebody. I wanted to use Instagram for sure as the main network, because that's where all my friends, that's where everybody is nowadays.
Yeah.
And I eventually would want to try Facebook, but Instagram, was definitely the first choice just because I knew, like, all my friends were there mm-hmm. and everybody was on it.
Yeah, that's, like, the main thing.
Pretty much.
And then how was the first way that you went and you got clients? I think we talked about this, but what was, like, the first step that you took to getting clients? And how did you expand to people that you didn't know?
How I first started out was telling my coworkers at Taco Bell. I wouldn't even charge anything. It'd be free. I didn't charge anybody till like, maybe, like, the fifth or sixth person just because I was like, I need to get some money for this.
Yeah.
So I would style it for free my coworkers, and then eventually found out, like I said earlier, Good Ink. So I would style all the models. And that's pretty much the main way I expanded. So I went from coworkers to local models, and then that's how I got into this fashion show. My friend found out about me. And that fashion show like helped me meet all these like Nike models, for, like all these people who are on Walmart ads. So that really helped me out expand more.
I want to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. When do you feel most confident?
When I feel most... You have great questions. I love these questions so much.
It just kind of came to me.
When do I feel most confident? I feel most confident and my happiest after the styling session. Like, knowing I did good and knowing that they're going to walk somewhere in the outfit I picked out for them. Like, all these photo shoots, you see all these people I style. And that's, I guess... That kind of correlates to being happy and what you just said. What was the word you just said again?
Confidence.
Confidence, yeah. So confidence and happiness, that kind of correlates to styling. Just how I know how they feel after. Just like a nice haircut.
Yeah. You literally just answered my question. See, I had a feeling you were going to say that. I just wanted you to say it. Because to everybody that listens to this, that's how you know you love what you do. Mm-hmm. Because when you have that escape, whether it's a hobby, a business, a job, a friend, a relationship, whatever it is, when you know that that's when you feel most confident, you know that that's what you're meant to be doing.
Exactly. Oh my gosh, yeah. You couldn't have said it better. Like, ever since I started doing this, like, I haven't felt more happier doing anything. Like, being with family is cool. I love my family. But after I'm doing a styling session, I'm just like, yeah, I can do this forever. You know what I mean? Yeah.
100%. I love it. Okay, cool. I really think that... He crushed it.
Awesome.
No, this was great. Honestly, Josh, I just have to say for myself that what you're doing is amazing. You're going to continue to crush it. You're growing. It's only been a year and a half. Like, come on. Like, most businesses fail within the first year. So,
that's true.
And this is the thing. You're starting from a point where it's like, you don't have to have all this crazy shit. Like, you don't have a lot of overhead. It's more like you know how to grow it in a way that doesn't require you to be full out. Like, you're doing, like, step by step, step by step. And I think that's the best way to go about having a business is you just make an Instagram. Boom. Yeah. Find a couple friends. Boom.
Exactly.
Then start getting paid. Get referrals. You know, it's all a cycle. People think that it happens right away. Mm-hmm. It doesn't. And that's when you get in your head, like, why is it not happening? And then you start comparing yourself and then you start getting depressed. But then you remember, wait, I'm doing this because I love it. I'm doing this because that's what makes me feel confident and happy and at home. And you know what I mean? So I just feel like your story can relate to so many people. Many people.
Yeah.
No joke. Because there's a million people out there that want to start businesses. They want to do what they love. But they just don't know how.
It's just a matter of doing it, you know, like, when I was really shy at first, I'm like, I don't need an Instagram. It's kind of corny. Everyone's gonna judge me, and then like people are gonna judge you no matter what you do. Like, no matter how successful you get, everyone's gonna judge you. So I actually said that to myself too. I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. So I slowly did like 5 followers, 50 followers, 100. Now it's at five, six hundred right now. But I shouldn't be looking at it like that. That's kind of clout chasing, I guess. But,
it's okay. That's how you get your name out there.
Yeah, just starting small and then working your way up to it.
Yeah, definitely. Cool. All right, let these people know where they can find you.
So you can find me on Instagram right now. My Instagram is JF Personal Styling. Style anybody from models to real estate agents. So if you need a new outfit, just hit me up.
Yep. And then last but not least, obviously I know that you're like, you know, you're growing your business, you're doing your thing, you're going to school, you're doing it all. If people are interested in learning more about you or potentially working with you, getting styled by you, on top of that, you know, hearing your story, whatever it may be, is there an opportunity for them to do that? Sit down with you, whatever the case may be?
Honestly, I'm a very open book, honestly. I feel like I'm one of the friendliest people you can know. So, like, just giving me a text or just DMing me, I'll give you the most personal answer no matter what it is, to be honest.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thank you.